When you refer to yourself, do you refer to yourself by, well, that's a little, let me step back. When a person is mispalel for an issue, whether it's for a chayle, it's for a tzara, should a person be very specific? Should a person go through the effort of specifying every last detail to Hashem of what the problem is? No, there are certain parts of davening where you're allowed to insert. The best place to insert a prayer bakasha would be at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, right before you say Yehi L'Ratzon Imrefi. There, a person can really have a conversation with Hashem. So there is a Zohar. I think this is the Zohar in this week's parasha. And the Zohar says something very interesting, that a person should always be very, very specific. And we learn it from Yaakov Avinu in this week's parasha. Yaakov Avinu this week was presented with a very great tzara, coming in contact with Esav. He was afraid for his life. And he says to Hashem, Hatzileni na miyad ochi miyad Esav. Why was it necessary for Yaakov to say Esav? Yaakov has only one brother. His only brother is Esav. So it's verbose. Hatzileni na miyad ochi. Save me from my brother. My brother is trying to kill me. Why does Yaakov have to specify who his brother is, Esav? I know you'll tell me this drush, the atzvedinim, there's an ochi, he tries to kill you by being nice to you, then there's Esav, he wants to kill you. That comes after. That's all very nice homiletics. But let's just go to the basics. Why does Yaakov even have to say the name of his brother? The Zohar, HaKadosh, learns from this. Here you see that when a person davens, part of the tzura, the method of praying to Hashem, is to be very specific. And this carries a lot of weight, because we know that when a person davens for a chole, almost to an obsession, some people, you know, it can drive you crazy. Oh, you need a refuah shleima, you're having a procedure. What's your name? What's your name? I need to know what your name is, your name, your mother's name, your father's name, your grandfather, who, people... Names. Why? What do you need a name? Just daven Shemoneh Esrei and have in mind when you say the bracha of Rifa'enu, Hashem v'nei Rafael, Hashem v'nei Vashem, think about him. Think about your friend. Why do you have to go through the effort of saying a Yehi Ratzon and inserting the name of your friend? It comes from a Zohar. And the Zohar's source is this week's parasha. Hatzileni no Miyad Ochi. That's not enough. Yaakov is in Esara. He's coming to specify the problem. Miyad Esav. This is the tsura, the method of praying. Now the problem.
Would you agree that if he had left out?
Well, if he had no choice, yeah.
It would have said Miyad Esav. He wouldn't have lost anything.
Right, so that's the question. Why did Yaakov have to say both of these expressions? Miyad Ochi, Miyad Esav. Let him just say one or the other. Miyad Esav or Miyad Ochi. Why is Yaakov Avinu specifying Miyad Ochi, Miyad Esav? So the Zohar learns a very simple, because it's coming to teach you that when a person prays to Hashem because he has a tzara, the requirement, the method, the form of prayer demands that you be very specific. Don't speak to Hashem in generalities. Even though Hashem knows everything, Hashem certainly knows every single detail, somehow when you express yourself and you say very specific things, it awakens you. It's a technique. It does something in your mind which enhances the koyach of tefillah. That's what we follow this, because everyone knows that when a person is a chole, we always take their name and we recite a Yehi Ratzon, and we add their name. On Shabbos, during laning, many, many shuls, they make a mishbech for the cholim. Unfortunately, there can be so many cholim that they have to make a takana where they just make one mishbech and they pause, and everyone inserts the name into that slot, because there can be so many names. Who needs the whole thing altogether? Just say, make a mishaberach. No one should insert any names altogether. And everyone should just have in mind, we're being mispal for the cholim. What do you have to go? Be so specific. Hashem doesn't know who the cholim are. Hashem surely knows who the cholim are. It's a zoyar. Hatzilenina miyad ochi miyad esav. Clear. Be specific. Now, the problem is not everyone agrees to this principle. There are many poskim that say that the only time he's supposed to do this is only when the cholim is not present. Like Yaakov. When Yaakov was praying that he should be saved from Esav, Esav is not right now in this moment in front of him. Esav is far away. But when the Choyle is standing right in front of you, if a person goes into a hospital room and the Choyle is right there, and he's in a state of illness, and you misfollow, then no. Then Adarabba, well, here is the debate. According to the Zoyar, you should. It's clear as day that according to the Zohar, when a person is in the presence of a person who's a choyle, you should, even right in front of him, you should say, make a mishaberach and say the person's name. Most poskim say, now this is the dilemma, they say one of two things. They say either do not, it is not a good thing to say, or it's not necessary. Three different opinions. Either, if you're not in the presence of the Chayla, everyone agrees to the Zohar, you should be as specific as possible. And that demands at least for the person to recite the name. When you are in the presence of the person, so it's obvious the person is here, we have three different opinions in the Paiskin. We have those that take a very hard line from the Zohar. He does not differentiate. Yeah. In the presence of a sick person, you should say his name. Others, I think it's Shulchan Aruch, I think it says Magen Avram, I believe it's Magen Avram, says it's not necessary. But that is only meant, interpreted to mean you don't have to. But if you want, no harm done. Why not? And then there is the more Kabbalistic approach, which does not resonate with me very much, but maybe some people here are mekubalim and it resonates with you. And that is, you definitely should not, because sometimes the name itself is the cause of his person's illness. Person was given a name. In the name is hidden his tafkid, his purpose in this world. And the more you emphasize his name, the more you're going to push him out of this world, because he already finished his purpose here. And that is why it's so common people to change their names. Or if you say the person is a choyle, you call him a choyle, and you say his name, you're just coming to emphasize, oh, he's a choyle. Instead of your tefillah working to your benefit to pulling him out of his illness, by saying his name in reference to him being a sick person, you're pushing him deeper into his illness. As I told you, this does not resonate at least with me, because I don't feel that I'm on such a level today where we hang out with Malachim during our coffee break, and we appreciate our dibur, our koyach dibur. Just saying a person's name and calling him a choyle is going to push him into his illness even more. I don't see those buttons being pushed. I don't see how all that works. But we have to appreciate that if this is the Kabbalah, if this is the tradition, and if once upon a time there were very holy Jews that were on such a level, and this there's truth, then, you know, you have to be a maimon. In Kabbalah hi nikabel. If this is the tradition, so be it. We accept with a full heart, and we do. We don't say a person's name in a prayer when we are in his presence, because he's here, he's right in front of us. It's not necessary to rub it in. By rubbing it in, that he's a choyle, by saying his name, it can have a harmful effect instead of a benefit. But if he's not present, then you have to be specific, then you don't have a choice, then you have to actually specify his name. So the bottom line over here is, when the person is not present, this is the Zohar, this week's parasha, Hatzileni no, miyad ochi, miyad esav. It is ideal to say the person's name. It is ideal to be as specific as possible. That's why there are so many different mishaberachs. every type of tzara, every type of situation. There's sidurim there. You can go to a Judaica store. They sell different tefillos for every type of situation. There are tefillos that have been composed by Gedolei Yisrael for shidduchim. Tefillos that have been composed by Gedolei Yisrael to pray for children. They should be successful in their learning. Tefillos for sick people, all different types of sick people. There are tefillos that have been composed by Gedolei Yisrael for just about every single occasion, every single situation. And these tefillos are very good because they are very specific. There is very great value in saying these tefillos when a person finishes Tehillim. Okay, Tehillim is the ultimate. Tehillim, the words are Tehillim. But after you finish Tehillim, to say a Yehi Ratzon is a fulfillment of the Tzur of Tefillah, Hatzileini Na Miyad Ochi Miyad Esav. Be specific. If the person is present, then it's not. Then we have three opinions. Either doesn't make one bit of a difference, or it's not necessary, but if you want, kol hakavod. And then there is the approach that it's not a good idea. A person should not do it. Now, as an extension of this concept, let's go to the next level. When a person prays for a chole, you ask him, what's your name? Do you ask him his mother's name or his father's name? So it's much more common amongst us that when you pray for a chole, you ask for the mother's name and not for the father's name. Why not? Why? What's wrong with this father? He's a nice guy. He's a nice guy, the father. He's a big Baal Tzedakah. He's a Baal Chesed. What is so terrible in mentioning him in prayer by his father's name? So there are a few answers. Let's go through some of the answers. The first answer is a little bit shocking, and thank you very much for the coffee. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyeh bedvaroi.
Amen.
The first answer is on target for our topic of discussion, the Zohar. You have to be as specific as possible. Miyad Ochi, Miyad Esav. Does anyone really know for sure who the father is? There's no guarantee. No one knows who the father really is. Just because the person was brought up, was raised in this home, who knows? Maybe the mother was unfaithful. This child was fathered from someone who is not this person. Now, that's a very nasty thing to say, right? Chazal say, Roiv be'ilois achar habal. Most times, marital relations, it's husband and wife, but not all the time. And that could mean there's a possibility that this man is not his father. The mother, that's a guarantee. You're not going to assume the babies were mixed up in the hospital, chas v'shalom. Even though that happens also, chas v'shalom. But there are eyewitnesses that saw this baby come out of this mother. A mother is a vadai. A father is a suffix. And being that, the Zohar demands that when you pray for a person or pray for a situation, you be as specific and accurate as possible. Hatzileini nam yad ochim yad esav. An extension of that principle is mention the mother, because the mother is accurate for sure. There is no sveikos. The mother is a vadai. The father, it's a suffix. Being that there is a possibility that it's not the father, then you're in violation of Miyad Ochim Yad Esav. There's not it's not fully absolute. Okay, that's why I'm telling you this. Look, that it flows from this principle of specificity, to be accurate. Now, some people don't like this. Obviously, I'm sure many of you over here listening to this, you probably smirking. Come on. Even though Roiv Bila Sachar Abal, all right. Let's be serious here. This person is the father. So there are other reasons given. And some of the reasons given are the reasons that a mother generally, when you pray for a person, and here's where we're going to have differences in halacha. Well, let me just lay out the principle, and then you'll see the nafkamina, the differences in a moment. And the difference, is that when it comes to, there is spiritual matters and there are matters relating to this world. A person's health is a matter that relates to him being secure in this world. A father primarily focuses on the spiritual matters, teaching his son how to learn Torah, teaching him how to conduct himself. A father is more in the spiritual world. A mother is grounded more in the material world, in olam hazeh. Therefore, when a person is not well, and we want him to get better, be healthy, and be secure in this world, we focus on the mother, because the mother is the one who has physically nurtured him, has physically created him in her womb, and has given birth, and has fed him, and has raised him. So when it comes to maintaining that existence, that the child should remain healthy in this world, we focus on the mother, not on the father. That's another approach. Now, lemay nafkamina. The nafkamina is, let's say you're praying for a person for a matter that's not in relation to healing, refuah. Let's say you want to pray that a person should be a Talmud Chacham. You have a person, and you want to daven, you have a tefillah was composed by a Talmud Chacham to pray that this person should be a big Talmud Chacham. Let's say the child is struggling. He's struggling with emunah. And, you know, it's a struggle. There are issues. And you want to say Tehillim, and you say Tehillim. And then someone gave you a Yehi Ratzon. One of the Gedolei Yisrael composed a prayer after you finish reciting Tehillim to pray for a child who's struggling with certain matters of emunah. And in this Yehi Ratzon, there's a place to insert the name of the child. Should you insert the mother's name or the father's name? So here is the nafkamina. If the reason why we use the mother is because the mother is a vadai and the father's only a suffek, it doesn't make a difference. Anytime you pray for someone else, no matter what the issue is, whether it's an issue you're praying that he should get married, or you're praying that he should be healthy, or he should be successful in his learning, or he should get a good job, and you recite Tehillim, and when you conclude the Tehillim, you recite the Yehi Ratzon, and you now need to insert his name. If the reason why we insert the mother's name is because of this principle, a mother is a vadai, and a father is a suffik, and the Zohar tells us, when you can, you should be as specific as possible, you should be as accurate as possible, and by extension, that would mean we have a choice, the mother and the father. You mentioned the mother because the mother is a vadai and the father is a suffik. It doesn't matter why you're davening for the child or for anyone for that matter. But if the issue is not, you'll say this is ridiculous, that a father is a vadai, father is a suffik. Come on, this is not the way we behave today in our society. The father is the father. Don't go confuse me with the facts. The father is the father. Finished. Then they would. Why then the mother? Because the mother is a connection to the child's physical well-being. It is the mother that carried him. So then, that's only true regarding matters of his health and his physical well-being. But if the prayer is in relation, in regard to a spiritual matter, let's say maybe even getting married, and everything you have to judge, is it called spiritual, is it called material? Then, maybe in this instance, we should refer to him by his father's name. Now, when it comes to an aliyah, when you get an aliyah, everyone knows that's a davar pashut ad ma'od. An aliyah, you call up a person by the father's name. That's because that might be a little bit different. That area of halacha, by calling a person to an aliyah, is because yichus. When a person gets an aliyah, we're not praying for him. I'm not praying for the person. There's no prayer. All right, they make a mishaberach. Okay, the mishaberach, it's interesting. You make a mishaberach, that's something which you have to think about. That's interesting, it's true. But we call ya'amoid, the minog yisrael, you call a person up to the tunnel, ya'amoid, ploini ben ploini. You never call a person by their mother's name. Why not? It has nothing to do with prayer. It has to do with yichus. Because the first aliyah goes to the kohen, the second aliyah goes to the Levi, and the third aliyah goes to a Yisrael. And therefore we have to identify, is he a kohen, a Levi, or a Yisrael? And yichus depends on the father, not on the mother. So this is totally irrelevant to any type of prayer. Now you'll say, but what about the mishaberach hu yivarech? You should be blessed. Okay, it's a very, very good question. Why indeed, when we make a mishaberach for a person after he gets an aliyah, do we call him by his father's name? If you're blessing him, he should be blessed with material blessing. Then, just like when you pray for a person that he should be healthy, everyone agrees that you follow the mother. So if the Baracha Mishaberach Avoseinu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov Yivarech Es Plodi Ben Plodi Bavur Sha'olu L'Chvod HaTorah L'Chvod HaMokoyim L'Chvod HaShabbos B'Schar Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishmireu V'Yatzileu Mikol Tzara V'Tzuka U'Mikol Nega U'Machala V'Yishlach Baracha V'Hatzlocha B'Chol Maaseh Yodav. So isn't that a blessing for his physical well-being? So why do we make the mishaberach by calling him by his father's name, not by his mother's name? It must be that it's accepted. Pretty much the approach that there's a difference between physical matters and spiritual matters, and the primary thrust of the blessing of the mishaberach, even though we do mention that Hashem should protect him, we call nega umachala, which is certainly a health. It appears that there's a difference between a person who's actually ill versus protection. When a person is ill, he's sick, and we need a prayer that he should get better, we then connect him to his mother. But when a person, because the mother is the source of his health, but when a person is healthy, he is healthy, and we're just praying that he should be protected and not get ill, he's a healthy person. So it's just a matter of protection. That does not demand that we go to the mother. That allows us to go to the father also. The father is equal.
Don't he mention the mother's name when we daven for somebody for shiduchim?
It depends. It's not so simple. When it comes to shiduchim, there are different. In these matters, there are different minhagim. It's not clear cut. When you pray for someone, for a zivuk, should you pray, and if you do recite a Yehi Ratzon, and you pray for a person for a shidduch, should you mention the father's name or the mother's name? It doesn't really matter. Whatever you do is good. It's not etched in stone what to do. Most people, I think, they mention the father's name that I know of. But it doesn't really make a difference. I just want to bring out these points. The points we're making over here is, when it comes to a mother, there's a principle. A mother is a vadai. A father is a suffolk. There's a principle. A father represents spirituality. A mother represents his physical well-being. There is calling of a person to an aliyah, which has nothing to do with anything. That has to do with yichus, lineage. And your lineage of being a kohen Levi Yisrael depends purely on the father. Clear as day, only the father. Then there is something. So now what are the issues? The issues are when you pray for a chayle, that's a given. A chayle, a person who is already ill, you need his health to be restored. We follow the mother. The mother, that's clearly at least amongst Ashkenazim, that's a given. Why? Everything comes together. It's a vadai. Number two, the mother represents his physical well-being. When it comes to a tzara, a tefila, that is not, a person is in an ace tzara, he's suffering, but it's not a physical, it's not a health issue, then many people use the father's name. Because if it's not a question of his physical well-being, it's a question of his situation that relates to the father. When it comes to the physical well-being of a person that he should be remain healthy, we see clearly the minhag is when we make a mishaberach on Shabbos, we don't mention the mother's name. After we call up the person, we call up because yichus. But then when we make
Levine?
Yeah. Okay. Then. Okay. You, Heshi, your phone. Your. I can't hear you.
Your. Yes, the mother's name.
Okay. There are different minhagim. There are different minhagim when it comes to shidduchim. Make a gratic kvittel. Someone put out a sefer recently. I can't bring myself to spend money on this. Hilchos kvittel. A whole sefer called Hilchos Kvittel. Okay, I wonder what's in that sefer. Okay, everything you want to know about a kvittel, I have to go borrow it from someone to see what it says there about these type of things. But in any event, now
you're not a
Heshi, your sound is very weak. We can barely hear you because it seems that your Wi-Fi is... Okay, now...
Is this better?
Not really, just a drop.
That knowledge couldn't fit on the kvittel. It's probably not worth it.
Now, there is one more thing, which also is not so simple, and that is a matseva. What name do you put on a matseva? Do you put, when you mention the person's name on the matseva, do you mention his father's name or his mother's name? First of all, a matseva is a nayazach. There's no such thing as putting a person's name on a matseva. When did this come into being? When did they start writing names on headstones? When did this come about? I don't know. It doesn't say that Yaakov Avinu, when he erected a matseva for Rachel, that he wrote that Yaakov wrote her name on the matseva. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that Yaakov wrote on the matseva Rachel. We want to know, did he write Rachel ben Lavan, or did he write Rachel ben who was her mother? I don't even know who his mother then. There's a Gemara that tells
me. I think the first matseva that they have with something is in Rome, back maybe in the 900s or earlier. But that's not before that.
Okay, but they did.
And Geshe Chaim, he brings down that in the old...
Right, Geshe Chaim, father, correct. Hebron, father.
He must go through the Chevron condition because there's no names on the Matsavas.
There's no name on the Matsavas. In Geshe Chaim, he also writes that they found the oldest graves that we know of that have names on them have the father's name, not the mother's name. He writes that the older, obviously there are certain minhagim where they bedafka do not write the names. There's a new thing. One thing is for sure. Are you seeing me because I'm having over here internet problems? Are you able?
Yeah, we see you.
You can hear. Okay. There's something going here. Okay. Because there's something over here that's wrong. I had a very hard time logging on today, and now I see I'm having a lot of problems here as well. All right, whatever. But in the oldest record of matzevos we have on record, when they did start the new minog, which has been around for hundreds of years, if not more, it's always been the father's name, but it's not absolute. I know there are Pinchas Scheinberg, on the matzeva both. I think it's in the book. Pinchas Scheinberg when he wrote his Sava, he said that he wants on his Matseva his father's name and his mother's name. I mean, why not? I mean, why limit it only to one parent? When you make a mishberach for a choyle, what's so terrible if you say mishberach avasenu yivarech es ployni, ben ployni uployness? What is so terrible to mention both the mother and the father? I don't know why. I don't know. So if you'll tell me that the only reason why you need to mention the name is to identify the person, so maybe it's redundant. Once you've identified him by one parent, that's sufficient. But if part of the identification is also to arouse a merit, a zuchus, he is the child of so-and-so, that alone should be a merit for his well-being, for his success. So what would be so terrible to mention his mother and his father? Both of them, that will be double the merit. It's not clear, I don't have an answer, why it's almost unheard of in any setting for a person, at least any official setting, for a person to be mentioned by both his mother and his father, the one or the other. It's either a chayle, so by Ashkenazim, it's always going to be the mother. By some Sfaradim, they mention the father as well. And you get an aliyah, you've never ever heard a person be called up to the Torah by the father and the mother. And not by a mishaberach. Why? I don't know why. For some reason, one parent is enough. And the dilemma is, which one should it be? And we have all of the variables coming together, and every situation is different. Vadai versus Sofek. Spirituality versus physical well-being. Prevention of getting ill versus already being ill. Yichus, when it comes to getting an aliyah. A matseva. What is a matseva? I don't know. Why is a matseva? Should it be the father, not the mother? Why? What difference? Why? The person is dead. Okay, he's not getting better. He's gone. So it's not a matter. And you want to say vadai? So if you want to work with that approach, okay, maybe there is such a thing. If you want to work with the approach of vadai versus safek, it should be the mother. So obviously on a kever, we're not concerned about vadai versus safek. So why? Why in the kever is it almost 99% of the time go to the cemetery, it's always going to be the father? What's wrong with the mother? What happened to the mother? Why isn't she a part? Why she probably put a lot more koichas into this person to who he became than the father? Yet, I don't know. It's a very interesting topic of where it comes from. Now, I'll just say one thing to add to this. I told this to you many, many times, and it totally, this it's I had a discussion with this with Mr. Glatter. Mr. Glatter, when we first started the call, we discussed this, and that there used to be a minug that is not observed anymore at all. It doesn't exist anymore, this minug. Rachmanu Litzlan, if there's a yosim, there's an orphan.
Could you hint why they put the father's name after the mother's?
Yeah.
Because even the woman, when she gets married, it won't say her name was Sarah Cohen. It'll say her name now is Sarah Levy.
And most that's a last name. That's a last name.
And when the yichus went after the father.
No, that we know. The yichus we know. Okay. All right.
Cemetery.
Okay, you're saying something very good. Okay. Rav Meir, that's good. All right. Okay, so you're saying something very important here. Rav Meir indeed is saying a very important point, why it probably is in the cemetery of the father, because a cemetery is like being called to the Torah. We want to know, are you a Kohen Levi Yisrael? It's a new minhag. Writing names on gravestones is a new thing. But it very quickly became a source of identification of yichus. Is this man a Kohen Levi Yisrael? And being that the yichus is determined by the father, not the mother, that's very likely why we're makbid to bedafka refer to the father, because that's what the gravestone is in all practicality about, identification of yichus. So therefore we use the father. That's very good. Okay, Now, there is one more thing I want to, before we go back to what we're talking about, there is one more thing, and this resonates with me the last week. We've been talking about this concept this last week, and that is the pasuk in last week's parasha. Olai kililoscha b'ni. Rivka said to Yaakov, Yaakov, go take the brachas. Don't be afraid. If something happens, I got you. I got your back. Olai kilalascha bini. When a person is not well, a person is ill, the mother is there to catch him. The mother, every mother is there to say about her child, Olai kilalascha bini. The mesiras nefesh of the mother is a zechus for the person to get better. If the mother was here, the mother would say, Olai kilalascha bini, let my child live and be healthy and I'll take the hit. So when you mispalel for a person, okay, we had many different, we discussed spiritual, we discussed physical, you come from the mother. Vadai, not Sofik. It's Poshut. A father says, Baruch Shepotrani me Einshe Shalzeh. Okay? The father says to the child, good riddance. Baruch Shepotrani. The mother says, Olai kilalascha bini. So when we're coming to be Me'oire Rachamim upon a person that he should get better, we invoke the zuchus of the mother. Look what the mother would do for the child. So you, Hashem, can't do at least that much? If the person's mother was willing to say about him, Olai kilalascha bini, every mother's willing to say about their child, Olai kilalascha bini. So if Hashem, if this person's mother's willing to say, Olai kilalascha bini, you, Hashem, can't also say, Amoichel you, you'll be gesund? If you'll say the father, you know what the father would say? Good riddance, let him have it. Baruch shepotrani me oinshe shalzeh. That's not going to work well when you're being mispalel for a refuah shleima. Okay, now going back to what I mentioned before with Mr. Glatter. He told me that he saw this, and you've never seen this today, Baruch Hashem, we should never know from this. If Rachmana Litzlan, there's a yosim, child, a young boy, does not have a father. It used to be a minog that was accepted far and wide. A yosim puts on tefillin when he is 12 years old. A bar mitzvah boy puts on tefillin when? Well, it depends. There are different minhagim. Some people put on, bar mitzvah boys put on tefillin for the very first time when they're bar mitzvah, bo bayom. There are some bar mitzvah boys put on tefillin 3 days before. Some put on a month. I think many bar mitzvah boys today put on a month before. That's a very common minhag amongst us. 1 month before. And there are some bar mitzvah boys that put on tefillin three months before. Heshi, your phone is not strong enough. It's not working. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Heshi, stop talking. He can't hear you.
Hey, there are bar mitzvah boys who put on tefillin even 3 months in advance. The common, now, a yosoin, if a person doesn't have a father, the minhag used to be is. And you have to ask the old timer. Not actually, he's a young person over here, Mr. Glatter. But go study this years ago. That's the way it was. A yosim puts on tefillin is 11 a year in advance. My high. Why? Where does this come from? So I remember we had this discussion about Maevsky. He had elaborated the certain degree of maturity. All different answers given to this question. I found the ultimate answer. I found the answer in a very unique sefer. Very unique sefer has all these very interesting questions and incredible answers to answers that were thoroughly researched to find the true answer. And it appears the reason is because no one, a boy who is a yosim years ago before the modern world, no one really knew how old he was. When a boy comes to shul and today's my bar mitzvah, I want an aliyah. Oh, today is your bar mitzvah. You're 13 years old on one day. Really? Yeah, you look like a pimpsqueak. You look to me more like 10 years old. Really? Today's your bar mitzvah. Who says today's your bar mitzvah? You have a birth certificate? What's a birth certificate? These things didn't exist. When did they first start issuing birth certificates? How many years? 100 years ago? Even less? When did birth certificates started coming into existence? There was no records. There was no such thing. So who are you going to ask? My mother told me I was born on this day 13 years ago. Oh, your mother told you. Very nice. Your mother. Well, we're sorry to tell you, your mother is posul le'edus. No offense. Don't take offense that she's posul le'edus. That's just how it is. Noshim are posul le'edus. They're not neman. They're neman be'isurin. They're believed with regard to themselves. They're believed to in regard to certain principles of halacha. But to testify concerning somebody else in certain matters, they're not believed. So just because she's your mother, we have the greatest respect for her. But unfortunately, halacha does not allow her testimony to stand up in court to allow you to receive an aliyah and be mitzi acheri midei chayvasan. Sorry, we will not give you an aliyah because you just look like a little pimsqueak. This little guy wearing a hat and white sneakers running around with his tzitzis flying around doesn't look to us like he's bar mitzvah. In walks his father and says, excuse me, give him an aliyah. I'm his father, and I hereby testify that he is bar mitzvah today. The father is believed. The father is neman. Now, don't you need two witnesses? I don't know why. You don't need two witnesses. I really don't know the answer why one and not two. A father is neman to say the age of his child, not a mother. Therefore, if Rachmana Litzlan, there's a yosim, he does not have a father, he puts on tefillin when he's 12 years old. Because you know what? He might already be bar mitzvah. Up to a year, there's a real concern that we do not accurately know his date of birth, and he already might be a bar mitzvah. There's no one to tell us. We have no way of knowing. And that explains why today this minhag does not exist. Maybe, I don't know, you've never heard of it. It should never exist. But today, you've never heard of such a thing. Rachman Lusana Yasim should put on film when he's 12 years old. Because today, there are birth certificates. Today, there are extensive records. Today, there's no games. Everyone knows exactly when he was born. There's no suffix. It's a vadai. And the issue is not an issue. So therefore, bar ayasam, today, we put on tefillin a month before, no different than any other person. But years ago. Now, why am I telling you this? It's, to me, in my mind, it's just very, very disturbing or very interesting. We start off the shiur today. In this week's parasha, Hatzileni no miyad ochi miyad esaf. The Zohar. You have to be as specific as possible when it comes to prayer. That's his opinion. Because look at the verbosity. Miyad ochi, just say one or the other. Why say both? No, he's teaching us. The tzura, the method of prayer, demands specificity to the extreme. As an extension, when you pray for somebody, you refer to him by the mother. Because the mother is a vadai. It's a given that this person is the child of this mother. But the father? We really don't know. No one really knows. There's an assumption. Roiv bi'ilo sachar habal. But it's not a vadai. No one can prove it to you. I know today there's science, a paternity test, this and that. Okay, but let's talk about times of Chazal. But what's so interesting is, even though the mother is a vadai and the father is a suffix, the only one that's neman to tell us about this person, who he is the father, not the mother. We may know for sure that this child, this woman is the mother. But this man who claims to be his father, and we accept it, we go basarayf, is the only one that can actually identify him. Identify his age, his age, and how it comes out when it comes to the wearing tefillin for a yosem. He's the only one that's neman. There is an element of a vadai in the father more than the mother. We kept on saying, if we're going to work with the principle of sofek versus vadai and add the zoyar into the mix, then the mother's always going to win. You should basically, every time you want to refer to a person, you should only call them by the mother's name. Because the mother's the Vadai and the father's the Safik. How come we have to override that rule? Because when you call a person for an aliyah, yichos is yichos. Oh, when you want to go give a mishaberach for matters of spirituality, let's overlook the vadai of the mother in favor of the spirituality element which refers to the father. Wait a minute. There's a much more profound reason why we should go after the father, not the mother. Because in a certain sense, let's preserve the principle of suffix and vadai. But the father is the vadai, not the mother. Because the father is the only one that can come into a court of law and tell us the facts. Who is this person? The mother is not believed. The mother, yeah, you gave birth to him, and that's where it starts and stops. But the father raised him. That's a fact. Even if the father did not actually, is not his, maybe there's a 0.00000001% that we don't know. We think there was something going on over here, and he's not the father. But it doesn't matter. Kol hamagadel yosa mesachdeisa kili yoldoi. The bottom line is, you're the one who raised this kid. And therefore, you're the one that can tell us every bit of information we need to know. You are the identifier. Isn't that called the ultimate vadai? It certainly is in my mind. And therefore, when we look at all other matters where we call a person by the father, we don't necessarily have to come on to yichus, spirituality, and I don't know, other, you'll find maybe some other svaris. No, the father is the vadai. He is the only one that can stand up and in a court of law and tell us the facts.
Now, Levine, didn't you say that the reason is because Nashim Psula is Le'edus?
Yes.
That's why. It's not a question of Vadai or Vados. It's a question of...
Exactly. Nashim Apostle, but not men. And I gave you this very important afternoon of Tefillin. It's a halacha lemaisa, at least it was halacha lemaisa till this generation, that a 12-year-old boy who's a yosim puts on tefillin because we don't know how old he is. What do you mean? His mother will tell us how old he is. Guess what? We don't believe you. If there was a father, we would believe the father. So you see from this halacha, this mina yisrael, that the father is the vadai in this sense. So that's all. I just want to bring out these points. We have all these, a collection of ideas coming together. Safek vadai, his health, spirituality, olai kilalascha bini, yichus, and then this principle that the father is the ultimate vadai because he can identify, and where it comes out in a halacha of putting on tefillin, a yosem who's 12 years old, he puts on tefillin. Okay, it's a very fascinating topic. Of names, it's always, you know, when they name a baby, it's always very confusing. You ever see that? Every time, it depends what you daven. I mean, the proper way, unfortunately, not every shul does it the right way. But the place that I used to daven is that when a woman gives birth, they make two mishaberachs. Okay, that's what I've grown up with. Unfortunately, lately I've gone to shuls and they don't do this. But when a woman gives birth, the place that I've been, they make a double mishaberach. They first make a mishaberach for the mother for giving birth to the child. They make a mishaberach in honor of the mother. Mishaberach avasenu yivarech es v'es the father. V'es ishtoi, they first say the father. The father, ploini ben ploini. V'es ishtoi, should I get a siddur v'es ishtoi? No, let me get a siddur. Give me 10 seconds to grab a siddur off the shelf. Give me 1 second, let me get a siddur.
Not the father.
Isha Yoledes. And then we say her father's name.
She's under the father's name.
Right, the father's name. And they say in honor of having a child. Let me turn to the page, please. Just give me 1 moment to the landing. Here we go. Here, mi sheberach li yoledes, art scroll sitter. Mi sheberach avasenu Avraham Yisrael Yaakov uyivarech eso isha hayoledes. What's her name? Ploinis bas ploini. Her father's name. The S bina, her son, before the bris. He doesn't have a name yet, the baby. The S bina, hanoilad lo, bimazol toiv. Bavur shabaila, her husband. The avia, this woman's father, assuming that her father was alive. Okay. Yitain litztaka. Bischaze.
The baby's father.
No, it's her father.
No, it's a husband.
Bavur she ba'alo. Ba'alo means her husband.
Right. It's
the baby's father.
The person who gave birth's husband is the father of
so
the
So why
baby.
Is it the... Right, then it should be the aviha, the avib. So but that's the same person. Something doesn't make sense here. Bavur she ba'alo. Ba'alo is the father of the baby, no?
Right.
So why does it say the aviv? It should say the aviho. Something doesn't make sense here. Something is fishy.
I don't have this sitter in front of me. I can't.
Something doesn't make sense here. We got to go call up Art Scroll here. An emergency.
You're assuming that the Zaydi made the Mishabeirach.
The Bala is the father. I mean, the Bala, I sure hope that her husband is the father of the baby. So what's the repetition? Shabala shehu aviv. What's the aviv? Something doesn't make sense here. I thought it meant, but I didn't pay attention to the grammar. I thought it meant the aviha.
No, it's perfect.
Why is it perfect?
Because you're making two mishaberos. You're making a mishaberach by Isha Yoledet, and you're making a mishaberach lebna shenoyled lo. So you
saying, no, I'm not up to that mishaberach yet. No. Worry. We're not up to that yet.
And it's also the kid's father.
No. We're not up to the second mishaberach. One mishaberach at a time.
In the first mishaberach,
yeah,
you're mentioning two different people. You're mentioning the mother. As
Benar,
right?
Nochmal, you make as a Isha Hayoledes, the woman who gave birth.
Benar,
her child, her son, her child.
You're also saying that this child is the son of the husband.
Bavur, the next word is Bavur. Making a Mishbech Bavur. Sheba'alo, Mapike, her husband. This woman's husband. Now, this woman's husband is the father of the child, no? Is that correct?
What's the next word?
Ve'aviv. Ve'aviv. What's ve'aviv?
And the child's father.
The child's father is her husband. The vav ve'aviv sounds like it's a different person. I'm sorry to tell you.
You
better call up Art Scroll today and ask.
The grandfather.
No, then it should say Viov. That's what I said originally. That's what I said originally, and then it should be Vioviha. It's not the right grammar. Vioviha. That's what I thought. That's what I thought it was possible. But then it should be Viovi, not Vioviv. Vioviha.
No, so it's giving the husband two titles. It's giving the husband.
That sounds strange to me. Why do you need to give him two titles? The of it.
The Baal is the husband.
Yeah.
And the of him, the father of the child.
Yeah. So it says the Babur Shabala. Shehu Aviv, which is the father. The Vav sounds like there's a different father. This is.
Aviha is the grandfather.
Then it should say Ve'aviha. In the Art Scroll Siddur, it says Ve'aviv. So you want to say that it means the father of the father, the grandfather of the father?
No. What do you do if someone wants to make a mishabeirach
for a nephew that was born to him. It's a strange.
The only thing you can say is that the word aviv. The only
You have the article in front of you?
Yes, I do.
So look on the other side by the girl.
Yeah.
It says Shabala v'aviha.
Bavur Shabala v'aviha. Oh, that the
as the man it says v'aviv, and by a boy it says v'aviv, and by a girl it says aviha.
So that makes sense. The aviha means her father. Whose
father?
The mother's father. No. Then it's Shabala. No, but then the question is, it sounds like there's a different husband and a different father. That was our original question. If you're going to say the word v'avia refers to the father of the baby.
It's referring to the grandparent.
Oh, so wait. So then what you have to say is, this doesn't make sense to me. The only explanation that makes sense to me at this point is, going back to when she has a boy, the espina, let me just say with my piece. Then you argue. Bavur Shabala. But wait. No, it doesn't make sense either, because we make no mention of the father here. It doesn't make sense. No, I don't have any explanation. I have no, when it comes to the boy, I do not have, I have to call him up today, this to explain. What does it mean over here? What's going on over here? It says over here, you only make mention of the mother. Bavur Isha Hayoledes. Bavur Vies Bina, her son. Hanoilod lo. Wait, let me read. Hanoilod lo bimazol toiv. Bavur. Wait, let me say my piece. Bavur. Shebalo.
Come here and tell me what you want.
Bavur Shabala, her husband. Now, her husband, before we go further, is, we assume, the father of the son. So if you're going to say now Viv means the father of the boy that was born, we're giving this person two titles. We're calling the father, number one, the Baal, her husband, and we're calling him V'aviv. But the way it is expressed sounds clearly like it's two different people. Sheba'ala and V'aviv. What?
So the aviv goes, it's referring to the grandparent. It's referring to the husband's father.
But the husband is not mentioned in this Mishaberach.
Shebala, her husband and his father.
Okay, all right. That's what you have to say.
If you look by the women, it says Bavur Shebala, and the husband and the avi and her father.
So why is it that when she has a girl, you make a mishaberch for the zayde of the mother, and when she has a boy, you make a mishaberach for the zayde? Oh, you make for the father's father.
That seems to be a conflict.
Why?
The English translation doesn't have that. The English translation is posted on the WhatsApp group.
There is a way to start it. Bavur Shebala. We're talking about
money. But the problem is, if you can.
The translation is that one person.
But.
Bavur Shebala, the Avi Hachinok.
Yeah, but it by saying two words with the Vav HaChibur, it sounds to me like there are two different people here.
So take the Vav away.
Okay. Okay, so we have to change the Nusach. But the way the Nusach is written is very bizarre. We need a Bayer on this. Yeah, we have to look at another Siddur. Let's see what else says in other Siddurim. This wasn't even my intent. I had no intent to discuss this part of the thing of it. We got caught up over here in something very bizarre, which I definitely got to call them up. I got to go figure out what's going on over here. I got to look at some other
scenes. I got to call up an old gabbai who makes the mishabera, so he'll know exactly what he's talking about.
Okay, but now what I really wanted to point out is that after all they do over here in the art school, they see maybe they were right. They said, this is not the way I was brought up. The way I was brought up, in the art school sitter, a woman gives birth, the father gets an aliyah, whether it's a boy or a girl, they get an aliyah, they make this mishaberach. Now, all the years where I grew up is after they make this mishaberach, no one says mazel tov. Quiet, everyone shtoik. We're not finished yet. Everyone be quiet. They then immediately make a second mishaberach for chalanis. They make a mishaberach for a choylo. They write with mishaberach avoseinu av mitzvah Yaakov Moshe Aaron Dov Shlomo who yivarech v'yirapei es. They say es ho'isha hayoledes.
Well, she's in danger.
Right, exactly. And they go Aisha, and then they say, now here's the difference. This is where it always gets confusing. And now when they ask for the wife's name, we want your mother-in-law, the Shviga, Meir. Here we want the Shviga. First we want the Shver. And now we want the Shviga. Okay, we want
the only reason they make the second Mishaberach is because there's Shviga.
Okay, yeah, so they make now the shviga because she's a sakana. A woman that gives birth is a choyla.
It's a sakana because of the shviga.
And what I always found it very strange is they make the mishaberach about bischarzeh, bavur, so and so will give litztok, bavurah, bischarzeh, klitzbrochu, mali rachim, maleho, lechalima, uli rapoiso, vachul vachulu. And then when they finish the mishaberach, hashtag baglovis, mankavin, amar, amen. And everyone screams out, Mazel Tov. So I always thought it very bizarre. Everyone is screaming out, Mazel Tov, for after they make a Mishaberach for a Choyla. It's like, what? You should do it the other way around. You should first make the Mishaberach for the Isha Yoledes for the Choyla.
No, then. If you would say Mazel Tov on the first Mishaberach, you would never hear a second Mishaberach, or you wouldn't even answer Amen.
So they should reverse the Mishaberachs. They should first make the Mishaberach for the Choyla. They should make a woman has given birth. She is in the Matzav of Sakana. Make a Mishaberach, they should have a Refuah Shleima.
You're making a Mishaberach for two people, for the mother and the child. So what's better, two or one?
No, you don't make for the child. You don't make a mishbech for the child, a choyla. The child is not in sakana. There's no such thing. You don't make a mishbech. The child is a healthy child. You never make a mishbech for the child if the child is a healthy child. If the child is
the first mishbech when you say mazel, the mishbech ha'isha yoledes v'bena ha'noyled la.
Mazel tov. Le mazel tov. So I was.
Right. So you make a mishbech for the kid also.
Right, that's what the Mishaberach is all about. The first Mishaberach that's printed here in the article Siddur. I've seen where I dive in lately, they don't even make a Mishaberach for the mother who's a choyla. I don't know what happened. They just
wrong.
Right. They just amaratzis. I don't know. Maybe they're not. Maybe because the article.
No, they were totally wrong.
The article Siddur doesn't make an issue out of it. They have on the top a mishbech for a choyle and a choyla. They don't even have the words le'isha hayoledes. When I grew up, this was always the procedure. A woman gives birth either to a boy or a girl. The husband comes to shul. He gets an aliyah. They make a mishaberach for the isha hayoledes v'yes bino or v'yes bito hanoldo lo le'mazel tov. And they make the whole mishaberach. And then everyone is quiet. Immediately after the first Mishaberach is over, the Gabbai immediately begins a second Mishaberach for the mother. The mother, she is a choyla. She just went through childbirth. She's ill. She's in the matzav of sakana. And then when they finish that Mishaberach, everyone breaks out and says, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. So I always thought it was bizarre. Then what are you screaming Mazel Tov after you declare to the whole shul that this woman is in its pikuach nefesh? She's so sick, you have to make a mishaberach for her. So what's everyone so excited? What are you so excited about? Everyone should take out a Tehillim and say Tehillim instead of saying Mazel Tov. I would imagine that it would be more proper to first make a mishaberach for this woman because she's a choyla. She's an ill person. She went through a traumatic experience. And that everyone should say, Amen. She should have a refuah shleima. And now, let's move on. She also gets a mazel tov. She had a baby. And they should make the second mishaberach, which celebrates the mazel tov. And then everyone should break out and say mazel tov. But that's not the way I've ever seen it done. I've always seen it done in this order. First, you make a mishaberach for the mother and the baby, the mazel tov mishaberach, and then you make the mishaberach for the choyla. And they, in fact, where I go to shul, they didn't say choyla. They would say hu yivorech v'yirapei eso isha hayoledes. And then they say her name. And here's where always the husbands get all confused. B'liyotzim naklal, because the first mishaberach is what's your wife's name and what's your father-in-law's name, her father. And the second mishaberach is what's your wife's name and what's your mother-in-law's name. Because when you make a mishaberach for a choyla, you say the mother. When you make a mishaberach for the mazel tov, you make a mishaberach, the name that we refer to her is with her father's name. It's very interesting that here you come to shul, the woman is called by her name twice, once by her mother, by her father, in two separate mishaberachs, and the shviga and the shver both get honorable mention. You never have such a thing like that. Think about when do you ever have such a thing like that, where both the shviga and the shver were a couple, a married couple, it took all these years until they had a grandchild. It takes, in order to have, you have to have a grandchild in order for the shviga and for a husband and wife to be mentioned in one shot. Isn't that interesting? The whole life, when do they ever mention your wife's name? You get a naliyah and they give a mishberach to you. Then if you want to make a seven mishberach, a mishanodar, so you can mention your wife, but it's not a standard thing to mention your wife. Here in shul, the grandparents, they get honorable mention. It's a very interesting thing. Now, in the process of this conversation, we have uncovered a very bizarre nusach in the art scroll Sidur, which needs clarification. It says here, to review our bizarre incidental observation, it says here in the nusach, Sheba'ala ve'aviv. Who is this Aviv? If this Aviv is this woman's father, it should say Ve'aviha. If the Aviv is the father of the baby, then it sounds like there are two people here. There is this woman has a husband, and the father of the baby is not necessarily her husband. That's really crazy. So who is the Aviv? And to say that it's the father of the husband, that you can't say, because you want to say it's Sheba'ala, her husband, and the Aviv. Maybe you want to say it's Sheba'ala, her husband, the Aviv, and her father-in-law. That's really the only thing that makes sense. Why would you want to give mishpach to your shver? If you have a son, so you want to give mishpach to your shver? Who cares about the shver? Why?
Just as with a girl, you say aviha, so with a boy, you say.
And then when it comes to the shviga, if she has a girl.
You don't want to give it to the shviga. But the reason you give it to the shviga is you don't have a choice.
If you have a girl, it says the aviha. Who is the aviha? So when it says the aviha, Shabala, her husband, the aviha. And your wife's father. Here it's going to be Shabala, her husband, and her husband's father. When you have a boy. And when you have a girl, it's Bala, her husband, but not her father. We don't want to give a mishaberach to the husband's father. Who cares about him? We want to give a mishaberach to her father. Why? What's going on? Just because you have a girl, so then we're going to give the mishaberach to the wife's father. But when you have a boy, we give the mishaberach to the husband's father. Why? What logic does that make? That's the only explanation. That's the only possible explanation, at least from my limited understanding over here, when it says over here, v'aviv and v'aviha. When she has a boy, we give the mishaberach to the father of her husband. And when she has a girl, we give a mishaberach to her father. My high. What does a girl have to do with her father? What does a boy have to do with his father? Why not give both? Equal opportunity. I don't know. Tzorich Ian, be my eye into this. Any event, that's our topic for today. names. Okay, there's a lot in a name, and I think we touched upon a lot of interesting issues. Thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. See you tonight. Those want to come 7:15 Yirtzeh Hashem. Okay, Zehu.
Somebody's going to be here tomorrow to give you.
Oh, so okay, very good. You mentioned. Okay, so no one's coming here into the room.
Rabbi, Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov.
Thank you very much. Mazel thank you. Thank you. Simchas by all of you. Simchas by all of you. Thank you.
What's the Mazel Tov?
I'm going tomorrow to Lakewood. Rabbi Maievsky, Rabbi Maievsky is giving the shiur tomorrow.
Anyway, back to the topic. Wait, one second.
Stardom,
yeah.
Okay. One second. Now.
Why don't they say the mother's name? Why do they say their father?
Supposedly, this works.
You know why? Rabaruch.
Yes.
Svardim were married more than one woman. No one knew who the women were. The women we know. He had four or five women. Who cared? The husband that counted. You look at it, Lahav.
I think Svardim. Sephardim, when they're named, they name it after the mother, the nifta after the mother. And when they have
the Mishabera, when you make a Mishabera by his father, you mention the father's name, never the mother's name. Because since they had a number of wives, you knew the kid, a kid's running around in shul, you say he's Rav Moshe's grandson. You don't say he's one of the three wives, which one? He's Dara's wife, he's Rachel's wife, he's Leah's son. You say he's the son of Rav David, of Rav Baruch, whatever. So the Mishaberach you have to make it after the same way.
Come, Rabbi.
I don't love Corona.
Anyway,
I'm asking
for
the baby.
You're making
it
for the baby.
It just doesn't work.
Rabbi
Levine, do you hear me now?
We're going to skip tomorrow. We'll see you
Miss
Hashem on Thursday.
He's there, but he's not around.
Okay. So let me get it.
Okay, I'm here.
Yeah. All right.
I was putting out a theory.
Yeah.
That it started them when they make a Mishaberach L'chayla, they say the father's name.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know why.
Because,
yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because the Sephardim married more than one woman.
Ah.
So if a guy's name was Rav David, and he had a bunch of kids, you called the kids Yankele ben David, Moshe ben David. You didn't call them after the separate woman's name, Moshe ben Rachel, Moshe ben Leah, Moshe ben Bila. You called it after the father's name. That's the way people knew the kid. You're making a Mishaberach. You want people to commiserate.
You're saying because there are many wives.